Remember, the subconscious mind, its only point in your brain and your mind is to keep you alive. It doesn't care if you're happy or sad. So it wants to keep you entrenched in the past, in this invisible prison that most people live in. To some degree, most human beings live in an invisible prison.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. I'm Brad Chandler, your host, and today we have Fraser O'Leary. Welcome, Fraser. So we're going to do things a little different today. On this podcast, I am going to switch seats and Fraser is actually going to interview me. So without further ado, Fraser, take it away.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brad Chandler. Thank you very much. That'll be a start. All right. So, Brad, I'm very excited to be sitting in your chair interviewing you on this. Let's talk about the three critical components for permanently changing any mental state. Can you summarize what those three critical components are?
Of course. Yeah. So I have over a year and a half of studying under some of the best people, literally taking thousands of hours of study, books, coursework, and working with now over 100 clients. I have found this method that works, and it's got to include, if you ever want to change your mental state permanently, I'm going to use the word permanently because a lot of people can change their mental state. They can eat right for a week. They can go to the gym for a couple months. They can be nice to their spouse for a while, and then it all unravels. And here's why. It's because one of these three critical components is missing. So the first one is awareness. You have to have an awareness of what is causing your issue to be able to change it. And most of our behavior, 95% of our behavior on a daily basis, is controlled by our subconscious mind. So a lot of people have no idea why they come home angry, why they fight with their spouse. When their spouse does something, why do they get really, really irritated? Why do they drink three glasses of wine? Why do they smoke a joint every single night before bed or hit the vape pen? Well, they don't know because it's buried in their subconscious mind. So number one is you have to have an awareness because all change begins with awareness. That's part one. We clear there?
Yeah, that's good. So awareness brings it from the subconscious, at least to the point where you can start to work on it. So what's number two?
Yeah. So now we have awareness. Now what do we do with it? Well, that awareness or those behaviors that are driving what you want to change, we've now become aware of. So that's great. Now you become aware of them. It's like having a diet plan, an exercise plan. I can give it to you, but what are you going to do with it? Now you've got to rewire the brain because these behaviors that are literally driving your behavior on a daily basis, these thoughts that are driving your behavior on a daily basis weren't formed a couple months ago. They were typically formed in early childhood between the ages of like 2 and 10. So can I just tell you, hey, Fraser, just start thinking differently, man. Just start feeling that you're enough. Of course not. It's deeply rooted in your brain. It's a survival tactic that your brain rightfully came up with as a young kid when you're going through something stressful. Your brain had to say, why is this happening to me? And a lot of times, why is it happening? Why is something bad happening to me as a six-year-old? Well, the kid is like, it must be because I'm bad. Because guess what? If they say they're bad, then their brain is telling them, if you just become good, then you can get what you want. You can stop the punishment. You can stop the neglect. You can stop the beating, whatever the issue is. So deep-seated subconscious beliefs are driving your behavior. Most people don't know them. So step number one is awareness. Step number two is rewiring the brain. And there's a fancy word called neuroplasticity. And it's literally just your brain's natural ability to regrow new neural pathways so that you can tell yourself a different story. So that the trauma, I like to call it childhood programming now because so many people check out when they hear the word trauma, oh, that's not me. But a lot of people don't understand what trauma is. Trauma is any really stressful situation that changes the way you think. So little T trauma, big T trauma. Little T trauma is your sister comes home from the hospital from being born and you think your parents love her more than they love you. Big T trauma are the obvious things, rape, molestation, neglect, that type of thing. So you've got to rewire the thinking. The trauma is actually not the event. That's a traumatic event. The trauma is actually what you tell yourself to survive that event. So your brain is now wired that I'm not enough. I can't get what I want or I don't belong. I can't connect. Well, we got to rewire it, right? Through neuroplasticity, we tell the brain, we teach the brain to live the truth, a different story. For you and me, Fraser, we both had the I'm not enough, which most people have. So what did we do through our process? We listened to a recording over and over again. We journaled about it. We convinced our subconscious brain that no, We were always enough. There was nothing wrong with Fraser or Brad. It was our parents and the way that they felt about themselves that created the stuff in us. So rewire is a second step.
Couple things about there that I just want to highlight. One is you saying survival mechanism, right? And I really like that because the kid is telling them something. Their mind is creating a thought that is negative for them. It's going to be negative in the future. But at the moment, it gives them what we all seek, which is power, right? Which is some measure of control. Because if I can just do this, then these bad things, right? Little t, big t trauma, these bad things will stop happening. So I think it's really helpful for us to look back and see why all of this stuff makes sense evolutionarily or biologically, whatever. And then the second piece is it's interesting, right? We all have heard about affirmations, right? And saying positive thinking. And one of the challenges is when you say something that is really at odds with how you've come to think or believe, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't fit, which means your mind goes from this is like easy and unconscious to very conscious, right? And they say they reject it because it just doesn't feel right. You don't believe it. So part of what you're talking about is kind of rewiring and reworking all those wires so that you're not in this place where like, this is easy. I've been doing this for 50 years. I've been thinking this for 50 years. This is easy. And unconscious, so it drives everything. Just say, like, if we could start from scratch, right? And we could create and program what we actually wanted to believe, we probably wouldn't choose something as toxic and self-defeating as you're not enough, or only way you can get love in the world is by being perfect or being successful. Nobody would choose that as an adult. And frankly, a kid didn't choose that as a kid. It just popped in, right?
Boom, survival. It's your brain doing what it's meant to be. It's to take you away from pain and towards pleasure. So when you're a child and you're in a situation where you have no control or there's stress, you're looking for a relief. Your relief is the story that you tell yourself. It's, I'm bad. This is happening to me. But if I can only be good, then things will be good. So it works marvelously for you as a child. When you're 47 years old, and you're buying a 42-foot boat and you're telling yourself you're going to sail it to or drive it to the Bahamas when you can't even read a chart. That's me, Brad. It doesn't serve you well. Why did I want to do that? I didn't wake up and say, I'm no good, so I'm going to go buy a boat and show these people I'm good. My subconscious behavior drove me to do it. So you're right. It serves you perfectly as a kid. It serves you really badly as an adult. So if you're in a crappy relationship or you're struggling at work or you're overweight and you can't seem to not stop eating, the reason is because of these stories that are embedded in you from a child. And Fraser, you mentioned the word affirmations. So let's say that as an entrepreneur or a salesperson, you go to a guru to get help. You feel really nervous about making cold calls. And they tell you to look in the mirror and just be like, I've got this. I'm great. I can make these phone calls. Why does that never work? It doesn't work because it's working on the conscious mind. So when we get awareness of the thoughts that are driving our behavior, because every single problem you have in your life is a thinking problem created from a thought when you were a child. So how do you change that? You change that through telling yourself a different story over and over and over again. But if you don't go to the subconscious mind in a deeply relaxed state, I use hypnosis in my practice. If you don't go there, then you're still in the conscious mind. That's why marriage counseling and that's why therapy doesn't work as effectively most of the time because they're working on the conscious brain. So you can sit in front of a mirror all day long and tell yourself how great you are. But if you haven't tapped into the subconscious mind and figured out what was the event and the story that you told yourself that's driving your behavior, it will never change. And that's the beautiful thing about being in this deeply relaxed state of meditation and hypnosis is that your brain will always bring you to the three or four scenes in your childhood that are the cause of your issue today. No matter what your issue is today, you have a shitty marriage, it'll tell you why. You have a drinking problem, you have an eating problem, you have a gambling problem. Your subconscious mind already knows the source of those problems. You just have to tap into it.
So a couple things that I think are really powerful that I just want to highlight here. Let me do it in reverse order. One is that we're talking about the impact of the past on the future. And the truth of it is, and I think this is something that we've discussed, but I think it's worth highlighting, is that the past is the past, right? The past occurred. It's not that the past is affecting the future or affecting the present right now, right? Because it can't. It's in the past. But what can affect the present and the future is the story that you're telling, the habit you've developed, that unconscious, very easy path of least resistance kind of interpretation or self-image. And what's great about that is that because we don't have any power to change the past or rewrite the past really, but what we can do is change how we're talking about in the present, right? Like that's what's happening every day, is that you're reinforcing or restating it. But what's so cool, I think, is that something can be simultaneously very easy and very difficult. I would get frustrated when I'm talking to my kids, my wife, other people I've coached, where I'm like, all you really have to do is just change your thinking. It's true. If you could come into my brain and change my thinking, like Matrix style, right? Like take this programming out and put this programming in, my body, there's nothing stopping me from creating a $100 million business. There's nothing stopping me physically from being in good shape or doing anything that I'm physically capable of doing. So it's as easy as changing your thoughts. But what you're describing is the fact that it's easy in the sense that you could, doesn't mean that it's easy to actually do it, because you're dealing with that 5%. Even if you really have great willpower and really motivated, you're dealing with that 5% of the iceberg that's above the surface. And what really needs to change is that 95%. And you can only do that when you dig into the subconscious, which you have to access through different methods, right?
Yeah. Remember, the subconscious mind, its only point in your brain and your mind is to keep you alive. It doesn't care if you're happy or sad. So it wants to keep you entrenched in the past, in this invisible prison that most people live in. To some degree, most human beings live in an invisible prison. And that invisible prison is caused from what we've been talking about. It's the thoughts that you created, rightfully so, to get you through a stressful situation in your childhood that is driving the behavior that you have now, that most of you don't even know is driving your behavior. So again, getting back to the three critical components, you got to become aware. So we do that through the deep relaxation of hypnosis. The second thing is, now that you have awareness, we're going to rewire that brain through neuroplasticity, which is by listening to a recording over and over again for at least 30 days as you're going to sleep at night in your alpha wave brain state. And that's the brain state where you're highly suggestible, because you want to tell yourself that different story. So now you've figured out what's causing you the behavior you want to change. Now you're rewiring it through the practice of neuroplasticity. The third thing is the conditioning, the training of the brain. Now that you know the cause and you're in the process of rewiring it, you have got to do something with it to continue. It's like, okay, now you've got the nutrition plan and the gym plan. Now you got to go to the gym every day. And what does that look like? For my clients, it's a couple things. It's a weekly call. It's almost like an accountability call inside of a group where we just say, hey, what things did you struggle with? What are your challenges? And what are your successes? That's one. The second thing is to continue to listen to the recordings over and over again, read a little bit in the book every night, journal, and then everything's important. But maybe the most important thing is use the daily emotional tracker that I created. And the daily emotional tracker, you can go get it for free right now, bradchandler.com/tracker. It's a way to process these emotions that you're bringing in from 30, 40, however many years ago. Because when you have an argument with your spouse, the last argument that you had, or your partner, or your friend, it had nothing to do with the actual argument at hand. It had to do with your survival brain saying, uh-oh, I'm feeling a certain way. I'm in fight or flight. I'm going to go back to a point in time where someone made me feel similar. And I'm going to bring that into the argument. That is what happens 99.9% of the time. So we have a thought. It creates an emotion. That emotion creates a behavior or an action that often reinforces the thought that we originally came up with. My ex-wife, whatever, is late for picking me up at the mall. What am I thinking? I'm thinking she's not picking me up because she doesn't care enough to get here on time. That creates I'm sad. That I'm sad makes me yell at her or be cold to her for 3 days. And then that reinforces the original thought of she doesn't care. I'm not worthy of being cared for. This tracker breaks that cycle. It is a method to, when you feel a certain thought, you identify and say, I'm feeling sad. And then you give yourself compassion for that. And then you figure out where it came from. This is a process now, Fraser, that I do in literally seconds. So as soon as I start feeling that negative emotion, I go to, what am I feeling? Identify it. I'm feeling sad. Then I say, it's okay, Brad, you're feeling sad, because that's a little six-year-old inside of myself. Then I go and say, where is it coming from? Oh, when my dad did this, he made me feel that way. Is that the truth anymore? No. Then I can snap right back to my joy state. In addition, I can also come up with three things around the situation that I'm grateful for. So let's say that you're having an argument with your spouse. you do this and then you go, okay, well, I'm grateful that my spouse is my spouse. I'm grateful that he or she is alive and healthy. I'm grateful that I know he or she really cares for me and loves for me. So do those things in the tracker, bradchandler.com/tracker. It will change your relationship with yourself, which will lead to changing your relationship with your spouse, your business partner, your friends, your relationship to food, alcohol. It's quite amazing.
I think it is remarkable. We're talking about unconscious. We're talking about patterns. We're talking about path of least resistance. And the notion that you can separate what happens from how you have to either feel or react is like that master space between that gives you all your power, right? It's not a situation where you need your spouse to pick you up on time in order to not feel sad. You are discovering that it's not stimulus response, it's stimulus interpretation, thought response. The good news there is that not only all your power, but you have complete power, right?
Complete
power. You don't have to invest that with global, self-defeating, absolute. The idea that there's only one interpretation for circumstance or stimulus is arrogant, right? And it's presumptive, but it's exactly what we come up with autopilot. Like if we're on autopilot, like you said, whatever's happened in the past and bringing it to the present to negative impact or to negative effect.
You got it.
So first is awareness. Second is rewiring. Third is reconditioning or conditioning. Talk about a little bit more about how you started implementing this in your life. You mentioned it a little bit with regards to your relationship. Talk a little bit more about how it plays out with you as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So in a 3-hour session, I got my awareness and I came out of there like a different person thinking, oh my gosh, this was never about Brad not being enough. I no longer have to prove my worth because I am enough. So that was my awareness. And then I did what everyone did. What I'm saying you guys can do, and that's listen to a recording to recondition my brain. And then my training or conditioning was I got home after this excursion that I went to in Park City approximately 2.5 years ago, a different person. I looked around. I'm like, I think I found the secret to life. I've got to share this. So my conditioning was I started going into this massive studying under some of the best people. And then I started taking on clients. So every single day I'm in this conditioning mode. And now my life is so radically different because things that used to bother me all the time, I now know why they bother me. And number one, they don't bother me. But if they do, I've gone from sometimes a 3-day trigger period, Fraser, to literally like 30 seconds because I just run through exactly what is on the daily emotional tracker and I just do it. And so what has changed in my life? I'm in a relationship. It's really hard to be in a deeply connected relationship when you feel you're not enough. And if you're thinking, well, I am enough, I would have thought the same thing. I developed this 3-minute quiz. It takes 12 questions, bradchandler.com/quiz or love. You can get there too, bradchandler.com/love. It's really hard to be in a deeply committed and connected relationship. So I'm in one now, going on a year, and it's just everything is different about the relationship than in my past relationship. Because guess what? We don't have two people fighting for their worth. If your marriage is poor,
right,
it likely is because of not the relationship you have with each other. It's the relationship you have with yourself, each of you have with yourself. So if you want to fix your marriage, just go fix yourself. So that's relationship. My health has never been better. I'm in the best shape of my life. And in business, I don't have to prove anything anymore. So in my real estate investment business, Fraser, I went from trying to constantly hit home runs where I lost millions of dollars to being like, I don't need to go make millions of dollars. I just want to make an impact. So I look at everything now from a standpoint of how can I impact my team members, my investors, my clients. And since I've made that shift, the culture in my business has changed. We have attracted different people. I now work an hour a week in a business that does a lot of transactions. I mean, we did 256 house flips or wholesale deals, a combination of house flips and wholesale deals last year. And I'm currently working an hour a week. So everything has changed.
So one of the things that you were saying about things that bother you versus things that don't bother you, I think it's very powerful to think in terms of like, if you were given a choice between being said, I can change every circumstance, every relationship that I have, every circumstance in the world, you give yourself that kind of Thanos-like power, right? Where you just change everything. That's what we believe in some cases, like what we need in order to not be unhappy, right? I need to be able to only be with people who are pleasant and agreeable. I need the weather to always be this way. I need there to never be any traffic. I need there to never be any uncomfortable people that I work with or setbacks in my business. Or that's like this magical unicorn thinking that you're going to have a life with no friction, or like you're describing, what if you were able to disconnect that connection that when something bad happens or something that's less than happens, you have to feel a certain way? Which would you rather have, and which one would be easier to get and to maintain, right? I can tell you that getting the entire world to orient around you and make sure your life works well is hard. I've been trying that for 50 years. So I'm just thinking, are there any other ways that you can share how the three components can be implemented, or how maybe some of your clients have implemented that?
So I think all this stuff is life-changing stuff, right? And what you just said was really powerful. You don't have to be angry and upset. That's like one of the biggest things I've learned over these last 2 years is people go around, most people in a triggered state. They spend a lot of time in a triggered state. And I spend hardly any time in a triggered state. Once you do this work and you go through the awareness, the rewire, and the conditioning, when things happen to you, first of all, nothing happens to you. Everything is happening for you. If you feel an unsettled feeling, it's the universe's way, your brain's way, God's way, however you want to look at it, of saying, you've got some work to do. So instead of looking at it as, this stinks, I have this terrible feeling, I'm going to go reach for a beer or a joint or sex or gambling or whatever it is, all you really have to do is sit with the feeling, and the feeling will dissipate. All those other things are temporary. When you look for love, when you look for comfort outside of yourself, you'll never, ever find it. Everything that you need to be happy, you have with inside of you right now. So I've dealt with clients with depression, anxiety, social anxiety, drug, alcohol problems. It all goes back to the same source. So it's the awareness, the rewire, and the conditioning. And this can be used to change any mental state at all. I know, Fraser, you were one of my first clients when I first started, right? I've changed a lot since then. So how have you used this, and what's changed in your life?
Well, I think that, like you said, very early on, right after your transformation, we connected and I was kind of moving along, right? Like life was moving along. And you asked me a few questions that got me looking at my life and specifically my relationship. And I was in a 20-year marriage. I was in a marriage with 20 years with two kids. And you asked me some questions about my connection with my wife. Now, I was, like you talk about your self-love quiz, I thought, right? I thought I loved myself. I thought I was doing okay, but my life had symptoms of a lack of self-love, right? How do you know what somebody actually knows and believes? You look at their behavior. And so my life soon after that, my life kind of blew up in terms of that relationship, which paradoxically and unfortunately led to me discovering really deep negatives of things I'd been living with and accepting and telling myself. And so that's on my side. Now, I've known you for going on 20 years, actually. It's probably coming up on our anniversary this year. And you have been driven. You have been ambitious. You have been creative. You have been confident the whole time I've known you. And as looking back on that, I can see that behind that drive was some things that were young, right? We're old. We're older in your past, but a young child, a young Brad. And what's great is that you didn't have to turn away from all the good that you were. You basically get to love yourself, right? You get to tell that little kid that was fighting for acceptance or fighting for love, you get to tell them that everything's going to be okay, and that the world doesn't have to be a dangerous place, and that you're deserving of love. And then you get to see what shows up, right? As opposed to, like you said, I loved how you described the relationship. It's not two people in love with each other. It's two people fighting for love from each other, and they're not going to get it. And so that's why sometimes it's important to realize that you have to change people in order to get to a different state. And so that my experience over the past year and about year and a half now has been remarkable. And what I'll say is Brad and I are kind of like tangential clients, right? Like he swoops in and helps. I haven't gone through the full Brad Chandler experience. And I think that had I done that, I would have been able to surface so much more. I'm still working on the conscious side, right? But I think that a lot of that is seeping down into the unconscious. But I mean, if I were to do it over again, I would have turned directly and let's hammer this stuff out, because how I feel now, what's possible for me now, what's going on in my business now, what's going on in my personal life now, contrast to where we were a year and a half ago, it's not just miraculous, it's unimaginable. It wasn't imaginable to me then. You're talking about what your experience is now. I think that it's very important to think, like, when you see people in your experience, like, not you, but when people watching this see people who are really successful, but laid back or seemingly attracting things, not getting bothered by stuff, I think it's hard to look at those people and not think, oh, well, they must have gotten their circumstances worked out, right? Because I know that I personally, when people are watching this, they're thinking, I would be upset if that happened to me. So that means that person must be upset, right? If something bad's happening to that rich, right, famous, or wealthy person, they must be upset. They're just hiding it. But the truth of it is, if the rules change, right? Like what Brad's describing is, yes, maybe everybody gets irritated when there's traffic, or maybe everybody gets irritated when somebody's disrespectful to them or whatever. But if it stays at this level, which is just a mild irritation, as opposed to reaching back and bringing out 50 years of pain. And trauma, that's a world of difference. You can handle this. Requires a much bigger hoe to pull out all the crap. So I guess I would just say is that it doesn't have to be this hard. It doesn't have to be automatic trigger pain, trigger pain, trigger pain. If you could get a magic pill or a magic wand that would say, stuff's going to happen to you. Pain is inevitable in life. Negatives are inevitable in life. But what's optional is the suffering, right? And so that's what we're talking about, is how can you step in and say, I'm going to decide what this means? And you can't do it through willpower. Right?
Yeah.
You can't hit your brain with your brain. That doesn't work. Yeah.
Most pain in this world is self-inflicted. It doesn't have to be that way. So as we wrap up, Fraser, tell us, what are you doing cool with your business and how can people reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work for an organization called Kid Biz Inc., and it's a youth entrepreneurship organization. And if you love young entrepreneurs and if you're excited about youth entrepreneurship, definitely get involved. But we also believe that there's a way to make it really impactful by connecting with businesses and through community building. I like to think of it as like we link something really cool, youth entrepreneurship, to something that businesses really need, which is local marketing, local promotion, local community building. So if you want to learn how we're sort of killing two birds and dominating neighborhoods while doing good, you can go to getfarmfamous.com. And that's our site where we help real estate agents and local businesses become celebrities, farm famous in their communities to attract more business while helping grow and support young entrepreneurs. Getfarmfamous.com.
Awesome. I absolutely love what you're doing, both with the kids and the entrepreneurs. So if you're interested in helping out with the kids' entrepreneurial stuff, reach out. And if you're a business owner that needs more business, more leads locally, reach out to Fraser, getfarmfamous.com. Fraser, thank you for sort of stepping in this role as kind of the de facto podcast host for this one. I appreciate it. That's a wrap on another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. If you like it, please subscribe and share it. And remember, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.